We love when you come and you visit us and you're with us. Wow. Ooh, go. Catch the joy. Catch the glory. I've been happy for the last 3 days, and I don't even know why. Even Eric said, "What's wrong with you? You got a smile on your face." I said, "I don't know. I'm happy. I don't know why. Is it okay? We're supposed to be happy, right?" That's right. Hallelujah. So it says in Psalms 46, 8 and 9, it says, "Everyone, look. Come and see the breathtaking wonders of our God. For he brings both ruin and revival. He's the one who makes conflicts end throughout the earth, breaking and burning every weapon of war. Surrender your anxiety. Just put it down. No need." It says, "Be silent and stop your striving." This is God speaking to us. "Be silent and stop your striving, and you will see that I am God. I am the God above all the nations, and I will be exalted throughout the whole earth. Here he stands, the commander, the mighty Lord of angel armies is on our side." Hallelujah, glory to his name this morning. Lord, we just thank you once again. And if all we could say is hallelujah today, praise the Lord, we'll just keep saying it all day long. We love you, Lord. We love everything about you. We're so thankful and so grateful for who you are and what you've done for us. And we can never be grateful enough. Amen. Okay, so let's keep our... Ooh, you got a word? Oops, don't trip.
All right. Yeah, I just got an image of... when she said anxiety, and that's exactly what the image was, of someone, I don't know who it is, but God knows and he loves you. But it was like an old movie of someone tied on the train tracks, and the train's coming, and this person feels like, "I'm going to get hit." And I can feel the anxiety from the person. And then the Lord showed me just like, you know what, the ropes are untied. They're not even tied to the track. And if that doesn't give you enough faith, you know how the movie, the train comes, and just the last second, it goes to another track. So what God is saying is he knows that you're going through a rough time, but even when you don't feel like you have the faith, just say Jesus. Just say Jesus. And don't feel guilty that if you don't have the faith, because there's times I go through where I don't have the faith. But I do believe in Jesus, so I just say Jesus.
Jesus is all you need. I like this.
Tell her this isn't part of it, but thank you for supporting us in prayer. Last week, I guess it was January 2nd, my mother passed away, and some are experiencing that in their families and friends now too. And the funeral director said people die in January and June. Yeah, way beyond, no kidding, way beyond anything that you'd guess. And then February, March, April, you know, they're okay. Can't keep up with it in January and June. So, I'm singing through the songs this morning. Of course, we came in a little late, but it was early enough to, you know, catch on to what God was doing. And he showed me a series of things that I hope I get right, but I'm just gonna see what he says in the passing. It's his heart, and when he has. When he has something on his heart, might not be exactly our train of thought, what we're thinking of and tuning into and all that. So thank you, Father. Show us what your heart is in this. Don't get stuck in the weeds. Don't get stuck in the weeds. You may have heard along the way the sentiment of this song is good, and that one is not. That's to be being careful with, and the other is okay to use. this type of music is good, or you may have heard this type of music is bad, and you have to use so much more tune in and discernment than you really should have. Because my word stands forever. The word put out by man, or even my words put out by man for purposes I don't intend, is what the discernment is for. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have the senses exercised to discern both good and evil. What I see in your worship is the coming together. What I see is as important in worship is that which you spend time with me over the week, and I plant in you over the week. And now what's important is the person to your left and the person to your right, because it's the coming together that knits your power together. For faith is an additive instrument. And when you sing, when you declare the word of the Lord together, there's great, great power. All that time you spent with me over the week then gets to come out at those times. So, be careful when you get drug into the weeds, hearing this song is good, or this song is bad, or this term is right and that's wrong. And the things that you're using for your worship shouldn't be. It's not that which goes into the man that defiles him, but what comes out. Don't get stuck in the weeds.
Anyone else have a word? Ooh. Okay. So where was I? Receiving the tithes and offerings. Is that where I was? Okay. All right. I did have an envelope. What did I do with it? Did I give it to you already? Uh-oh. Did I lose it? Well, anyway, the scripture I have this morning says, don't allow yourselves to be weary or disheartened in planting good seeds. There. Good seeds, not weeds. For the season of reaping the wonderful harvest you planted is coming. Take advantage of every opportunity to be a blessing to others, especially to your brothers and sisters in the family of faith. It's always about coming together and being in unity and enjoying one another and encouraging one another and praying with one another and sowing good seed. And that doesn't mean just finances. And I'm a little concerned about my tithe offering. Where did I put it? All right. Well, it's got to be here somewhere, unless the Lord took it naturally. It's getting interest on it. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, if you want to give through a credit or debit card, Matt's back there and he'll take the transactions. At this time, I usually pray for the sick and those that are in hospital and those that are in nursing homes and homebound, or even one of us, like Alan. He's still recovering from an infection in his respiratory system, and Linda Smith and Dan and Scott, and let's just lift them all up. And if I forgot someone, just add it to the list. So Father, we just thank you and praise you for today, Lord. We cover these people in the blood of Jesus. Lord, we cover every one of our friends and family members that are ill today, Lord. We cover them in the blood. Lord, we just thank you and praise you that you're restoring everything in their bodies, Lord. Even things that the doctors don't even know about, you are healing it and taking care of everyone, Lord. And we bind Psalm 91 over everyone, including us and our family and friends, Lord. And I bind good health to all of us right now. I thank you for a good immune system. I curse every sickness and disease that's in the air right now, that it will not attach itself to us in any shape or way, no matter where we are. Even if we're in with a lot of people, we will not get anything because of the blood that surrounds us. That wall cannot penetrate through us in the name of Jesus, because that's the power of what Jesus did on the cross. He said by his stripes we are healed. So therefore we could walk in health and wholeness today because of what he has done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So grateful for that. Every ache and every pain. Every ache, every pain. Gotta go. Gotta go. In Jesus' name. Who else has aches and pains in their body? Every ache, every pain. Gotta go. In Jesus' name. In the legs, in the knees, in the hips, in the back. Gotta go in the name of Jesus. In the foot, in the toe. Everything, every part of our being. Gone. Glory be on you, in you. His glory, his presence is in you, on you, through you. Strength, come. Strength, come. Yes, he's so good. Ooh, he's so good. I really love the Lord. I really love the Lord. Yes, sure, come on.
I think yesterday God imparted a little something to me, and it's just real simple, and I love simple. So, simple's good. Anyway, sometimes, I know this one does, gets real perplexed about stuff that I don't understand. And you think you're doing it God's way, and you're lining yourself up with him, so you think, and then it doesn't work, or it doesn't turn out, or the timing's off, or whatever it is, you know? And so you stand there, and you're just like, what's going on, God? And so yesterday, I was actually praying for someone else, and God said, when you get perplexed, when you don't understand, give a little giggle. And I was like, oh. So we will, ready? Give a little giggle, and then confirm it. I'm going to give a little giggle. So whenever you don't understand, the joy of the Lord is our strength. So give a little giggle, and then watch and see what God does.
Yes. Yeah, being happy really makes a difference. I'm laughing at everything, and you know, so I pour that back on you guys. Okay, we'll pray for the tithes and offerings today. Lord, we lift up this basket up to you right now, Lord, and we just thank you and praise you for giving us the joy, Lord, that we could walk this life in joy and happiness. And Lord, we just thank you for what you're doing in our finances, Lord. We know that something big is coming, and Lord, we could sense it. We thank you for your glory. We thank you for the open doors and favor. We thank you, Lord, that all things are going to turn around for good for those who love the Lord, and we love you. So therefore, they're turning around for us right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you that every bill is paid on time. Every need that we have will be met. We thank you, Lord, for supernatural debt cancellations. In the name of Jesus, how many need a debt cancellation? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We receive it. Amen. You know, I saw the ticker this morning that Trump is lowering mandatory credit cards down to 10% interest, and they can't go anything above that. So, even though we shouldn't really charge stuff, but that helps. Would be nice if we just wiped them out, right? Okay. Blessings. I prayed. It's okay. All right. You want to say something? Oh, okay. All right, I'll give you some schedule news if there's any. Let's see. Today we have a little bit of produce, so if I forget to say that later, there's a little bit of stuff back there. Okay, Tuesday afternoon at 3 o'clock, we have our scheduled intercessory prayer. So anyone available, please come out and join us, and it's awesome time together as we pray together and see how God answers our prayers. All our messages are recorded and posted on the Father's House website. In case of bad weather, which I don't think we're going to have anymore. Let's say we're not going to have any more. No more bad weather on any day. No snow, no ice. Okay, in Jesus' name. But if you need to know and I have to cancel on a Sunday, as long as I have your phone number in my cell and your cell number, I'll give you that message. Okay, up and coming guest speakers for 2026. That sounds weird saying that. February 1st, 2026, Sunday at 10:30, Dennis Rainier. March 8th, 2026, Sunday at 10:30, Ed Callens. I just added that. And July 11th and July 12th, Dean Braxton will be back with us on Saturday. We'll be doing a worship seminar, and Sunday he'll be back preaching. And as we get closer to the date, I'll have more detailed information on the Saturday, what we'll be doing. Okay? So we have a guest speaker today. Can you guess who it is? Annette. Annette's going to preach. All right. Okay, Annette, it's all yours.
Hello? Okay, there it is. Okay, as many of you know, I was supposed to be up here last week. But, unfortunately, I got sick. I'll just put it like that. And I had to call Karen like 8 o'clock in the morning, begging her to forgive me because I was not going to be able to make it. And I said, well, I don't know if they're going to believe that story. Or not. But I was sick and I had to go the whole day. It was miserable. I had ate something that I shouldn't have eaten and it messed me up. I'll put it to you like that, okay? And I was home and the only thing good out of it, my son did get up and wait on me. So that made it a better day. So, you know, as some of you know, I turned 80 this year. And that was a hard place for me. You know, a lot of people think that certain things shouldn't be hard. But when you think about getting older, this or that, things start to change inside of your head. Things become entirely different than what they used to be when you were in your 40s. And I've been knowing the Lord a long time, okay? Since in my in my late 20s, my uncle came and witnessed the gospel to me. And I've had a lot of ups and downs in the Lord. It wasn't no sleigh ride, you know. I'm a girl from out of Newark, New Jersey. And I had the life of a girl out of Newark, New Jersey, you know. And when I was young, my parents gave us the best they could. And I don't mean poorly. We had everything, okay? And so life to me was good. But it was when I started growing up that everything changed. And I started to see things differently. And, you know, you get involved with the wrong people and so forth and so on. So somebody finally comes, you're suicidal, you're whatever your weaknesses are. And you're looking for something, but you don't even know what you're looking for. And I'm sure that everybody can pretty much agree with that. You know, when you're young, you think you know it all. You think you got it all. You think you know where everything is going. But but you don't foresee certain things happening to your life that's going to change the whole dynamic of it. And so it's amazing that, and not unless Karen did this because she knew the scripture that I was going to use today. The very first song is my message. Yes. The very first song, when the song came on, I said, oh no, that's Karen. Because she, she knew what my message was going to be about. Because I had said, well, I'm going to say this or I might say that. But no, she didn't know. It was what God had said to me. Because, you know, we spend a lot of time thinking down in the Lord. And Karen has done her best since she became a pastor. Because I didn't know her before. I knew her, but I didn't know her. And I've watched her grow up, you know, from just being somebody else's wife to being the pastor of the church. And we've become friends together. And when we go out for breakfast and this and that and this and that, and she talks to me and she won't let me say anything negative, because I never thought that what I was saying was negative, because, you know, we grow up with a lot of stuff. We grow up with a lot of stuff that, even about God, there's negative stuff up here in our heads about God. And we think that we're saying them like we're quoting scripture or something that somebody has told us. But no, it's not true. And when you get to a certain point in life, like where I'm at, I know Karen doesn't want me to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. You spend time thinking about what the future is going to be and the future of going home to be with the Lord. Because you know it's inevitable. I mean, it's coming. And then there's nothing that I can do to stop that. But I can make this time, this place, fruitful. I can start to take my mouth and say the good things about God. I can say what the Bible really says that God is. Not what I think he is, not what somebody told me about what he'll do to you if you mess up. Because I've messed up so many times and I know hell would be waiting on me. But that's not God. He actually died so that I didn't have to think that way. But I didn't know that he died. I thought he just died to keep me from going to hell. I would get to go to heaven and everything would be okay. But then I started started saying to myself not too long ago, okay, this is where I'm at in the gospel, y'all. I'm in a place that the only thing that matters to me is what Jesus did on the cross. He was faithful to God, and he came to show us what this thing was really all about. All of what I've heard, all of what I think, all of what the Facebook say, all of what TikTok say, the people be on TikTok fighting back and forth about what the scriptures mean. If you do this, you're going to hell. If you don't do this, you know, this is what's going to happen to you. It's all lies. So I've had to take time and think about my thinking. And what is it that you're thinking? And this is what God told me to really say to you guys. You've got to examine what's going on. You've got to examine what's going on in your head. And I did not even know that I was going here, but I'm going here. Okay? Because maybe that's why he allowed. Well, however I got sick last week, there was more that I had to think about in bringing this message to you. Okay? Because I was like, well, why did you even let that happen to me? Why, you know, why couldn't I have just gotten on up on Sunday morning and everything been the way it was supposed to be and everything was good? Why can't this be? Why can't this be? And God said, my people are looking in the wrong direction for me. This was about 3 weeks ago. And I was like, looking at, and this is when the song that they played this morning, the first song, this is my opening verse. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. I'm 80. I'm in another place now. I'm probably older than all of you in here. When I was young, I never even thought I would get to be 80. That's an age that's in my head was unbelievable. 80? I mean, do you hear what I'm saying to you? And so in all of my negative thinking, let me just explain to you. I've been a woman that my parents died when I was real young. I was left to take care of their children. I resented it. So I had a negative attitude about that. Because I was always somebody's keeper. Somebody's take care of. I got to worry about somebody else. Instead of even having time to worry about myself, finish college, do what I thought would be good for me. I was always, my attention was always on somebody else. Not too long ago, I was choked by a young man, or I won't call him a young man because he's really not that young, but he's a schizophrenic. I didn't know he was schizophrenic. And I had known him for over 30 years. When at one time in his presence, he lost it, you know, and he choked me. And I don't mean just like, he choked me. My whole body was all bruised up and I was on the floor fighting for my life. But before he choked me, God started talking to me. He said, he's going to try to kill you. He said, now look, I want you to listen to me. And I want you to do everything I tell you to do. Don't think nothing else. Don't do nothing else. Don't only do what I tell you to do. It's very important that as we start to get to this point in life, a lot of things haven't happened for us the way we think that they should. And we've had a lot of negative stuff that happened to us. But there comes a time when your mind has to start to think like what God is saying. Nothing else. Because what else matters? There's nothing else mattering out here. A couple of you have gotten up and said words today. And God wants steadfast people. He wants people standing strong. He wants people that actually believe him. Do we believe this word, people? Do we believe it. You know, when you think about going home, I was watching a movie and it would say, have a good voyage. He was telling someone that got hurt in the movie, and he was saying, make your voyage good home. Make it peaceful. Make it restful when your time comes. And I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence cometh my help? Where are you looking for your help to come from? Where you're at in your life? What you're dealing with? So you're getting this from, you know, they say, age has wisdom. Well, I guess I do. Okay? I guess I'm seeing life differently now. There's wisdom out here for all of you, as Karen calls y'all generals. You know, her people that God has given her to teach and talk to. From whence cometh my help? See, even when we pray, what do? We put our heads down. We're praying now. God say no. Lift your heads up. I'm your Savior. I'm your salvation. I'm the one that has put all of this together for you. I saved you. You didn't save yourself. I loved you. I brought you out. I'm the one that turned everything around. When life came to take you under, or take somebody else under that you knew, that you loved, he said, but you got to put your eyes on me. So when Jesus was in the wilderness and the devil came for him and told him, throw yourself down, go ahead on, I'll feed you. He was like, you must be crazy. This is what he told the enemy. No, I'm not going to think like that. He didn't say these words, but this is what God told me. Lift up your eyes. This is where your help is coming from. This is who you are now. We're not babes in the Lord anymore. And even if you are young in the Lord, it's okay, because you've got a journey to go. You've got a long, long journey to go. I got saved when I was 27, 28, and now I'm 80. That's a long time. In, out, up, down, going. Sometimes you believe them, and sometimes you don't. Sometimes I wonder, are you really real? Is the story real about God? Do you ever think like that? I've never seen him. I've never even seen Jesus. So now they got Jesus. Is he black? Is he white? Is everything is turning. But we can stop that and go back to the Word. This is what we're looking at. And in every situation, you lift up your eyes to the hills. When you go to pray, don't hold your head down. He says, my help? Say that to yourself. My help? It comes from the Lord, which made the heavens and the earth. He will not suffer my feet to be moved. We're not going nowhere. We're not leaving. People talk about leaving God. Leaving and going where? There's nowhere to go. God is the end, the beginning, and he's the end of this thing for us. There's no other ways to turn, to look, to make up in our mind. If the devil harasses us, I went out on my back porch the other night in the rain and swept him out. I was hot. Karen said, you got to get mad at him. So I went on and got mad at the devil outside on my back porch hollering. And I know that people in the neighborhood heard me. Yes, because it was an echo in the backyard. I said, well, I'm going to clear the devil out for some other people in this yard. Okay? Because I'm sick of you. I'm sick of what you're doing to my life. I'm sick of the spirits that want to attach themselves on to you. We've got to end this. We've got to get rid of this. Even the mentality that makes the devil think that he can come to us. He will not suffer my feet to be moved. He that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. God is not resting. He hasn't gone off anywhere. He's not taking care of somebody down the street, and he don't care nothing about you. He cares about you. He's got you in his mind and in his heart. And I'm like, okay, God. He says, he will neither summon nor sleep. His shade covers us. We're preserved. We're covered by him. We can't be taken down. We cannot be moved. We've been bought with a price. Somebody died for you. I mean, no. We know that because we know the scriptures. But no, I ain't talking about that knowing. I'm talking about the other knowing. The real knowing. The knowing that knows that you know that you know that you know. It's like, I'm getting ready to go home. I'll take 92, 95, 100. I'll do that. But still, it's closer than it has been when I was in my 20s and I accepted the Lord. I want to have a confidence down on the inside of me about who God is and what God is to you. As the reason he died for you, why he died for you, his love for you is so great. He don't even sleep on you. It says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. This is in Psalm 136, verse 1. His mercy endureth forever. Well, I thought that mercy was he felt sorry for me. I thought that the word mercy, you know, when you say, oh, I have mercy on somebody, or I feel sorry for somebody. God's gift, that mercy, is God's gift of undeserved kindness. And in Psalm 136, it's noted 26 times. He's kind. His mercy. He already has it planned out how we're going to get out of the situations that we're in while we're struggling. It's like those of us that have people in our family that use drugs. We sit and agonize all day, every day. How is this thing going to end? Well, he saved me. I was no better than him, but he saved me. His mercy. He had mercy on me. His mercy endureth forever. So if it's forever and he takes a whole family in, our children are covered under the mercy. They're in the plan of mercy that God has covered us with. I mean, when you get choked, your whole life changes. It's never the same again. You know, a lot of my friends, they 70s of them, and they still, you know, 76, 70, this, 80. I'm like, yeah, I want a man. I'm like, look. Hold on to that. I'm not going to be choked no more. But am I looking right? Is that what God said? Or is that my fear rising? Is that me deciding I'll take care of me the way that I know I'll take care of me? Just keep to yourself and you'll be okay. But that's not God's plans. That's not God's plans for you. Not unless you want to be. His mercy is great. And it says that it is revealed in the action he takes to reverse our suffering. We suffer here. We being on earth, as I get when what's the guy who died and went to heaven? I can't think of his name all the time. Just like we suffer on earth. When he comes, every time he says, this place stinks. I mean, he talks about earth real bad because he died and went to heaven. And he knows what God has made for us. He knows what he has in store for us. He felt the goodness and he felt the grace. And I'm in that place now where I want to feel the goodness. I want to feel the grace. I want him to know that his mercies are new every morning. Every day you get up, God's got a new plan already written out for your life. And you don't even know what the plan is. But we've got to come to a place of rest assured that it's good. It's good for you. It's good. I don't care what you're going through. I've been through crap in my life. And I get down here to start to appreciate who God is. So he tells me, I get a message 3 weeks ago, and Karen said, you want to speak? And I said, yeah, and I'm thinking like, yeah, I kind of got a message, but okay, I don't know. So I get with my grandson, and he starts talking to me, and then I know I got a message. And whenever he comes, he said, Grandma, you want to hang out? And when he answers me and says, Grandma, do you want to hang out? That usually means God's got something that he wants to say to me. Out of my grandson, who's only 30. I watched him be born. But he's filled him with the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to talk about stuff. And with a mind of wisdom. And with a mind of grace. Where are you at? I don't want to be up here a long time. I just want to encourage you. So I might not sound like I'm encouraging you today, but these are words of encouragement. But I want you to have, these are words I want you to put on the inside of you. Not just, oh, well, you know, she said this. God loves you. And when you're in trouble, you lift up your eyes. Oh. Not down. Oh, God. No. I'm sick of it. Lift up your eyes into the hills. Let your prayer time be a positive prayer time. When you go into your prayer closet for somebody else, you pray for them knowingly. We've been seeing people get well here. You know why? Because on Tuesday, when we come in here and pray, we're serious. When we run the devil away, we're serious. When we walk around this church, touching chairs, walls, doors, out to the lobby, back to the bathroom, we're serious. We've got our eyes lifted up to the Lord. We're not looking to, well, you know, my mother used to tell me that. What? What your mother said? What your grandmama said? No. Not good enough anymore. Only what the Word of God says to you. And I guess hanging out with Karen, you know, I got, you know, I'm the type of person where praise is due. I don't mind giving it. She took my life and she turned it around. Okay. And I'm giving it, yes, she don't like it when I do it. And y'all know, last time I spoke here, she wasn't here, and I still praised her. Okay. So this is not a praise for her. It's a praise to her. But to let her know that she is doing a good job. But Paul had, but just when things looked the most desolate in our life, uttered the greatest short phrase in the history of speech. He said, "But God, who is rich in mercy." So rather than just being a gift, you know, like mercy being a gift from God, God is mercy. I just got that. No, I'm serious. Because I thought about it like it being a gift. And you had to beg. You know, you had to, oh God, help me. Oh God, if you just turn this around. Oh God, if you'll just save my son. Oh God, but you think he's not? Do you think he's not going to save your son? Do you think that he's not going to fix it? Then what are we doing here? What is every Sunday all about? Is he not going to take our financial woes and turn them around? You know, I mean, no, everybody's not going to leave here rich, because we can't do nothing with it up there anyway. Well, you say to yourself, well, it would be nice if he turned it a little bit, you know, while I'm still here, and give me a brand new car, and I promise y'all, I'm not going to keep it junky like the one outside. Y'all know my car, okay? It got rugs and everything. Like I live in the car. No, that's part of my laziness, okay? Okay? And it's like, if I store one more thing in there, I feel like he will get mad at me, you know? But God, he's rich in mercy for you. He's made up of mercy. That's why he's saying, stop looking down. Lift up your heads, oh you gates. Lift them up. This thing is getting crucial now in the world. Okay? I mean, it's crucial out there in the streets. Things are happening, you know? But I tell you what, I really believe this. We're in a special place in God, in timing. We're getting ready to see his face again. It's time for Jesus to come back, okay? But Karen says we're going to see, I don't know what kind of glory she calls it, but it's a certain kind of glory we're getting ready to see out of God for his people. And he's going to take us and set us in places and do things through us. And he's going to let us know that this has not all been in vain. The Bible says, your prayers are not in vain. Your life is good. And it's taken me to get here. I'm telling you, approaching 80 changed my mind. But now the real one that really got it was the hernia operation. I was a mess. Hernia operation. I had that hernia. That hernia was my hernia. I had it almost 30 years. I was afraid. I walked with a hernia 30 years until something happened and the large intestines went into the hole that had grew. I had an open hole inside of my stomach that I didn't even know that I had. Karen said, God keep you when you don't even know you're being kept. I thought it was just a little hole, you know, where the navel had come loose from. No. It was like 6'6". It was like 6 inches. And when they opened me up, they could see waste and stuff inside of me. This is what the doctor told me. They could see waste inside of me moving. It was floating in my, you know, my eyes were gray. My eyes had turned a funny color. I was dying. I was dying, and I was stubborn until the large intestines slipped into the hole that I had made for the small intestines. Then I couldn't breathe. I couldn't eat. I couldn't do nothing. And God said, nope. You go to the doctor. Now, mind you, this was a doctor that I hated. And I ain't going to tell you why. My racism, okay? Because he wasn't American. And God said, you stop it. Can I be honest with y'all? we all got stuff. We all got stuff. And I had stuff. Large intestines went inside of there, and I was choking. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't do nothing. Couldn't go to the bathroom. I couldn't do nothing. Well, then what you going to do, die? Or you going to go let the man wait on you? I did. My stomach is beautiful. Do you know what I'm saying? I was afraid. Fear, 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 fear shut me down my whole life. I was afraid of everything. Now, when I was young and used to run the street behind the drugs, I wasn't afraid. Okay. I was 17, 18, running the street, 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, hanging out in the clubs, sneaking in the bars. I wasn't afraid of that. But then I got older. I'm scared to even go on the porch now. You know, old people ain't supposed to go this and do this at night. No, old people are just as capable of moving and being in ministry and going on for God as anybody is. Like Steve told me the other day in prayer, he said, God got something for you to do. God's got something for you to do. He's got something for you to do. People in the back. Us older people are good for something. He got work for us to do. But his mercy has kept us alive. His goodness has kept us alive. His goodness takes a brain that's all screwed up from whatever happened to you when you were little. And he straightens that mind out so that you can be of use to someone else in this lifetime. In Ephesians 2:1, it says, he has made us alive in him. We're not alive outside of him, because the Bible says that we were dead in our trespasses and our sins. And he came and saved us and made us alive all over again. His mercy, his goodness, his grace, his long suffering. I mean, can you grab hold to God like that now? You know, it's when you get here where I'm at, you're like, okay, I know what time it is. You know what I'm saying? Hey, so now, every 20 years, every 10 years, I ask for another 10 years, right? So like, so now 80, I'm like, okay, do I go to 90, which is too close, or do I just shoot on for 100? Because see, Brad told me I could do 120. So I ain't quite there yet, right? So I'm going, so I'm going to take 100. Okay. Yeah, Brad told me one day, he walked up to me and said, you know, Annette, I think you could do 120. And I was like, okay, Brad. I can do, all righty. Well, now for that, I might have to have a husband. I don't want to be by myself. You know, I might change my mind on the husband thing. And so it says, in Hebrews 4:16, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace in the time of need. When you really need something, know that his mercy is there for you. Therefore, the Lord wants to be gracious to you. And therefore, he exalts himself to show mercy to you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. You got to wait on him to come. He don't be coming and moving like we want him to move. Like, you know, just I snap my fingers and here you are. No, it don't work like that. But he waits. You know, the man who waits, he is a God of justice. He knows the perfect way to achieve his purpose, his perfect time, for action. See, he has a time set for the action in your life. The perfect time. not the time we make up. It's like when somebody was going to choke me, he said, listen, they're going to choke you. It's like, believe it. And I said, so are you saying to me that this is the last day that I'm going to ever see my grandkids again? He says, no, I'm going to bring you through. He talked to me just like I'm talking to you. And I'm looking at this person, and they got a knife in their hand. And then something told them to put the knife back up. But then later on, they decided that they would choke me. Okay? God, he already knew that that was going to happen. See, what I can't understand is why he even let it happen. But nevertheless, he knew it was going to happen. And he saved me. His mercy and his grace came and saved me. You young girls, y'all don't know what y'all going to face in life. You don't know what type of man you going to meet. You don't know. May God bless you to live through it. You know what I'm saying, people? Lift up your eyes into the hills. Stop thinking negative. Do it now. Break the yoke. Break the yoke of negativeness. Break the yoke. Get back into your word. Break the yoke that the enemy has put on your neck to keep you going like this. One day you're okay with God, and the next day you, yeah. Then you got to have somebody like Karen come and take you out to eat, and then shove some word back down inside of you, and you be like, do I want to eat this today? How dare she? How dare she? But then I had to see what she was saying. She was telling me the truth. I'm somebody else today. Psalm 91, verse 2. What will you say about God? What do you say about him? You going through something right now? You don't know where it's going to end up. He says, but I will say of the Lord, this is what you say. He is my refuge and my strength. Let us change our conversation. Let us change, not what I think about you or whoever, the man that operated on me, did I like him, did I not like him. Let me change what I believe God is. Because he's my keeper. He's the one that's brought me up to 80. Because when I was a little black girl sitting on the porch down in Newark, I couldn't see no 80. When I was sitting on the porch smoking marijuana and thinking and hanging out and partying and carrying on and doing, I couldn't even see 80. I was like, when somebody said, well, how old you want to be? I was like, well, is 50 good? I thought 50 was old. Now the kids is now, they be thinking 50 old, they old. No, 50's not old. 50 is young. But I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my strength. And I just found out the other day that this was my grandmother's favorite verse. And my niece who lived with her and grew up with her, she said whenever my grandmother was feeling down, this was the verse that she would pull out. I didn't even know it. And she said, well, that's grandma's verse. I was like, ooh. She said that was what grandma used to always say when she would pray to God. So I'm going to start seeing God as my refuge. See him as your refuge. See him as the one that has kept you. The doctor's been good to me, but he didn't keep me. He just knew how to do something that God wanted done. Because I'm good now, y'all. Hey, you see, I done lost weight. Ta-da! I'm under 200. Ta-da! He's putting me back together again, where I should be. Okay, at 80, he's putting me back together. He's not tearing me down. And I decided to lift up my eyes. I was sitting in the living room and I said, you know what, God, I'm going to praise you. I'm going to thank you. I'm going to change how I think about you, God. Change how you think about God. Let him be your holy one, your mate, your lover. I used to could not see that kind of stuff. You know, lover. And let him permeate you and make you just become your all. Whether you got a husband, don't have a husband. Because in the end, he's your husband anyway. He is your husband. He is your husband. Whether you're in the bed with a husband or not, he's still your husband. Because he's right there with you. He's right there loving on you. He's right there taking care of you. He's right there being your all in all. Lift up your eyes. And I'm finished. Lift up your eyes. I had different stuff written down, but I do know that God's saying to change your direction of worship to me. That song today was so on time. Because all we have is a hallelujah. We got a hallelujah. A heartfelt hallelujah. You know, I mean, he's been good to you. Look at the years. Look at the years you've been walking with him. Sometimes your foot was in. Oh, no, y'all didn't go that way. And sometimes your foot was out. Okay, I don't know about y'all foot, but my foot was. I'd be saved 10 years, and 10 years I'd decide to do it myself. Okay? Nah. It doesn't work. Oh, and I know what I'll do. I'll find my own husband. No. I had a husband, but that didn't work either. I will lift up my eyes. I will lift up my eyes. Lift up your eyes today. Lift up your eyes. It's a song by Don Yatlin, and isn't that what he, that, the lifter of your head. You could play that if you want to, just for in closing, if somebody got it, and let's lift our heads up, and let's leave here today in a place of praise, and in a place of thanksgiving, with a positive mind about where we're going. If we're sick, if our brain ain't working right, it's okay. Why do you think he saved you? So he can straighten your brain out. Give you grace to finish the race. And he does that. He gave me grace. I've been on the psychiatrist's couch. I had 2 kids that didn't belong to me. They were my mother's kids. And they wore me down to a frazzle. And they still wearing me down. And they 69. But the fact of it is, she said, will you take care of mine? I said, yes, I'll do this. She said, will you take care of my kids? Yes. Good or bad, that's it. I don't know. I don't know nothing. Let us lift up our eyes once again. Where are you at with God today? Where are you at with him? Are you just like Lord, I'm going to tell you something, God. I'm so sick and tired of this crap. I'm sick and tired of this crap, God. That ain't what he's saying. He's saying lift up your eyes into the hills. From whence cometh your help? When you're praying, pray up. Pray up. Don't pray down. Pray with a positive mindset that this thing, our sons are saved, Rita. They're already saved, but they need the grace, they need that mercy that's going to change this thing and sit them in the right place with God. And so we can go on and finish the journey with a positive mind. Let God turn it around. I've got things in my family that need to be turned around. But only Only Holy Spirit and God got the word for that. But I will lift up my eyes. I will pray. I will seek your face, God. I will seek your face. Can we just be there? Can we just be there? And let this thing get, let the walk get to be a little smoother. Because I don't know about you, but last year was a rough year for me. I had the wound sore, had the hernia, had this, the that, plus the brain wasn't working right. Lift up your eyes. Amen. Yes.
My soul in the heavenlies, but in my darkest hour I can feel your mighty hand.
If you need prayer today, come on up and let us pray for you
against the enemy. I lift my voice to you, and I know you hear my cry. Deliver me from fear when I'm afraid. You are my refuge and my strength. Lord, you hide me in your wings. You come and comfort me. And I know I am safe, oh God. You're the lifter of my head, oh God. Whom shall I fear or dread, oh God? Every enemy has fled. By your grace, sheltered by your love, protected by your power, you are my defense. I am covered by your blood, overshadowed by your tears.